Hey guys, Nacho here. So what you're about to listen to is our interview with Dr. Andy Rourke. So all of us admins got together last night and we did a video chat with Dr. Rourke where we were all drinking and just bullshitting with him and having a lot of fun. Unfortunately, there were some technical difficulties with Habanero and Churro. They weren't able to get audio on this, but they were able to sit in and watch and listen. And we were able to ask some questions on their behalf. So, if you're listening to this, I'm going to go ahead and assume that you already know who Dr. Rourke is. So, enjoy what we got to enjoy last night. But you guys are just going to have to experience it secondhand. So, suck it, peasants.
Very cool. What's your name? What do you go by?
So, I'm Nacho. I'm the founder of the page.
Okay.
Yep. I want you to know that this is a special occasion. I'm breaking out the maker's mark. I haven't had a drink in probably 2 months, so.
Hey. Well, that's cool. That's good stuff. Yeah, I've got a Woodford Reserve.
Oh, nice.
Let's see.
I'm trying to figure out where the heck everybody else is.
Yeah, they were on the Skype or the other one. Let's see what happened.
All right. Let's see here.
Hello. Okay.
Salsa's joining now.
There we go.
There's Salsa. Okay.
I thought we scared you off, Dr. Work.
No, sorry about that. we got it. Look, I gotta tell you, no matter how good a business looks, it's always a shit show behind the scenes. You know?
gotcha.
And so
I was like, he saw us and
I was like, bills. Churro's got like a helmet and like it feels like a bird. I was like, this is intense.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to meet you.
We've got a Zoom like paid account, but then the guys needed it for an Uncharted thing tonight, and I was like,
no worries. No worries.
They were like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm drinking with some friends. And they're like, get on. It's for work.
That's great.
Clark, how are you doing through all this?
Hey, you know what? It's been as crazy as anything. We had to cancel our April Uncharted conference, which is really one of my passion project. And that was one of the most stressful things in my whole life. You know what I mean? Like, it's supposed to go in like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And so we were all in and had everything set. And then you remember how quickly things moved. It was like, oh, I don't know about this. And I think we might be okay. And then every day was worse. And then we're like,
like the course of 2 days, everything just completely shifted. So,
I
know how much Uncharted means to a lot of people. And I know that it means a lot to you. That's the one that's down in South Carolina by you, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that sucked. But you know, necessity is the mother of invention. We adapt and overcome. So we're going to start working on something digital and really try to do something that will be cool.
Good.
But that's it. It just kind of throws everything up in the air. But that was quite an adventure there.
I bet it was. It's rough. Everything's changing around us rapidly.
Yeah. How's your clinic doing?
We're doing okay. So we became a VCA on January 1st. So we're going through a whole lot of different
things. Oh man, that's a lot at once. Yeah.
Jesus, tortilla.
So here we go. We have tortilla here and her beautiful golden locks.
Oh my God.
We're kind of like, if you can't tell already, we're kind of a bunch of clowns.
Oh, I love it. It's fantastic. Fantastic.
And the one whose face you can't see is Nacho. He created our page like years back when he was in vet med. Now he's in the army. So he created his like a venting outlet and like a dark humor space.
Yeah.
We just try to make people laugh, basically. We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we also try to like post anonymous things for people when they have questions and just let people be heard, I guess.
Yeah.
That's actually the biggest, that's the foundation of the page. That's kind of that. So I started it back in 2013, after one too many times of getting in trouble for speaking my mind at work, because I have a very small filter. So I started the page, you know, back before memes were a thing. And this was, it was just a place where people in the vet med community could anonymously vent and get stuff off of their chest, because keeping stuff bottled up mentally is terrible for you, for your mental health. So yeah. that was my initial intention. And I mean, we've kind of just, we're definitely a shit posting page. We post a bunch of memes that people love. But we keep the content relatable, so that way people can see that you're not the only one going through this kind of stuff. So
yeah, feeling like you're not alone is a big deal.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah, I feel like, well, and yeah, I agree.
Oh, thank you for your contribution there, Tortilla. I don't know, but if he's, I don't know what all is going to be seen here, but if he's trying to protect his identity, he has failed thus far.
He's doing a great job.
I know, right? His photo is just him in his glory.
That's okay. I don't know. Yeah.
That's okay. Well, half the page knows who he is anyway, and we're able to identify him just by his hairy ass cheeks. So.
That's true. That's true. Most people call him out on it just based on his butt.
Yeah.
Yeah, Churro,
who's
wearing a roller derby helmet.
Yeah.
So I do want to say, before we get into this, while we're waiting on the others, even though I did create this page back then, it would be nothing without the people that you're going to be talking to here tonight. Especially, I hate to say this because I don't want him to get a big head, but especially Salsa. I randomly met him. He had I had posted something about you know, vegan cats back in like 2016, I think, maybe, or 2015. And I just randomly got a notification one day that somebody had commented on that. And there was this absolute batshit crazy lady providing all these documents on why cats are supposed to be vegan. And Salsa had commented on there. And I don't remember, I think I messaged you or you messaged me. I'm like, hey, man, you want to get this page like revitalized? Because up until that point, it had just kind of become stagnant. You know, I was no longer in vet med. I have a career in the Army now. And it, the page had just kind of gone to the shadows. And so I think I had messaged him like, hey, do you want to get this, help me get this up and running? And he did. And it's been a lot easier now with the whole, the prevalence of memes in our society. That's really kind of, again, been our foundation.
Yeah.
It's helped
like
a lot.
We're like such a big meme culture now.
Yes.
If you're not memeing, you're nobody.
Memes are more Googled than religion at this point. That was a statistic I read.
Oh.
Yeah. Memes are the new religion.
Yeah, they're definitely ours.
So, Nacho, you started in like 2014, and you were just kind of letting people vent and kind of posting kind of irreverent stuff. And then when did it really start to grow?
It was, what was that? Salsa, about September?
Yeah, about September, I think.
Yeah, September. I remember, I think that's when you commented, and that's when I brought you on. It was about mid-September. And then just from
last year, 2019?
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
so
wow. Okay.
Like the page was, I think, at like maybe 1,300 likes and followers.
Yeah.
In September, and in the short amount of time to now, I think we're up, we're coming up on 39,000.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's great. One of the biggest things that's helped that is our Wine Wednesdays.
Okay.
You know, there's other vet med groups that will remain nameless that don't allow whining, client bashing, patient bashing, stuff like that. And I hate to call it client and patient bashing, because we're just speaking the truth, but you can't say anything negative about clients or patients. And our page is an outlet for that. So that way, if you have had a bad day, one of your coworkers pissed you off, or you know, you had a client that was just completely extremely rude to you, you can come to us and once a week. That way, you know, the page isn't getting flooded. People aren't getting flooded. can submit your complaints or whines anonymously, and we will post them. And that's Tortilla's area of expertise there.
I'm missing work. So people message you their like their complaints and their whines.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You guys post them. Oh, okay.
It didn't mean to be anonymous at first, and when we kind of started doing the Wine Wednesday, people inbox started getting flooded with messages, people asking if we could post their wines for them anonymously, and so now it has turned into anonymous Wine Wednesday. I think in this day and age, it's really easy for employers to like find their employees.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
There's repercussions for what you post online.
People screenshot that and they send it to employers, and this happens in these vet med groups all the time.
I've seen and heard of that in vet med groups.
Yeah, it happens in the biggest vet med groups and the smallest ones.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of vet groups. Yeah.
So it's shameful, but. Yeah, here's Abby Habs. Right here. That's Habanero in his Rick and Morty shirt. We were all huge fans of that show.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's great. It's a big thing with the page is the anonymous aspect of it. That's why we're here protecting our identities. Some of us more poorly than others. That's one of those. I don't really have anything to lose, but it's kind of fun for me that nobody knows who I am. You know?
Sure. Yeah, I can see that for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't have a clinic that somebody can go report to. Hey, your employee's posting about suicide on the page. So I'm like, yeah, it's one of those things. So I enjoy it. It's anonymity is a huge thing, and we've built a really good foundation of trust with the page fans due to that.
Yeah, no, that's cool. That totally makes sense.
Yeah.
And so it started really coming out for you. So you guys started Wine Wednesday just last year?
Just like a couple months ago, I think.
Yeah.
So
it was either late last year or early this year. But yeah, we actually gotten a message from somebody that had gotten muted on another veterinary group because, if I remember correctly, like, hey, we're not allowed to whine. Can I vent here? And I think that's kind of what kicked it off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dude, that totally makes sense. Yeah. We're just people go where they want to go to do what they want to do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Dr. Rohr.
Yeah.
What are you drinking?
Woodford Reserve.
Oh, okay. You stepped it up a notch, I guess.
Classy bastard.
That's
a Southern gentleman drink right there.
I can't drink the cheap stuff anymore. My head just pounds.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's gotten more expensive as I've gotten older.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, listen, the only reason I have this bottle of Maker's is because it was a birthday gift. I don't even buy alcohol. I drink what people give me.
Yeah, totally. No, for sure. Well, cool. So, you guys have something really cool going on. I really like the fact that you guys have this anonymity, but you still like you present yourself as personalities that people can connect with, as opposed to being a totally anonymous page. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
And being like, hey, we're, you know, Vet Med Laughs, and you know, I just post things without ever actually engaging as a person, and so I think that's kind of a cool mixture of like doing something that people want, which is making them laugh and letting them engage, and having a personality without doing the thing that you see a lot of people do where they're like, look at me.
Don't fill our heads with that, because we're definitely those kind of people on a certain level. We're definitely like, oh, this person loves me.
No, you
rub it in each other's faces.
It's more salsa than any of us.
You've got to have a certain amount of ego or you wouldn't be here.
I am all ego. I'm not dangerous ego, but I'm all ego.
All ego. You should see him when he posts a meme and it gets less than 100 reacts. Like, he... He's got a noose on hand for when that happens.
Oh, yeah.
That's never happened.
Oh, yeah. No, I so to go on what you're saying, like, I love interacting with the page community. It is, I know all of the admins do. That's actually, I talked about it on one of our episodes of the podcast, and I believe I talked about it in the comment section. One of the things I miss most about VetMed is client interaction. I love it. Of course, you're going to get the ones that are just a pain in the ass, that no matter what you do, you can't please them. But more than that, you have the ones that are that love you. You did a nail trim, and now you're, you know, a knight in shining armor to this lady. And you know, I love those kind of people. And so,
oh no,
what?
Oh, no. We lost our leader. Lost.
Am I out? Can I hear? Am I here?
Okay. So,
anyways,
hello.
So, Dr. Rourke.
Yes.
To fill this gap, I'm going to do something that Nacho asked me not to do, and that's tell you about a dream that you were in.
Oh, Jesus. Am I back? Am I back? Can I stop this now?
It's not, like, don't get creeped out.
Too late. My fondness for you. Too late.
And how I appreciate you. So I'll keep it short.
Famous last words.
I will keep it short. So I was somewhere in, I think, Georgia in my dream. So I knew I was in the South. I grew up in the South. I know you live in the South, so maybe I connected that somehow. Anyways, I got picked up by, like, some teenagers, and they started bullying me.
Yeah, sounds about right.
And they kicked me out of their car, and I wound up wandering the South. And a lovely man welcomed me into his home, and he gave me tea, and he fed me bread. And he got me back to my home state, and that man was you.
That was me. I fed tea and bread.
Did you leave out the part about you turning him into a skin suit?
Yeah.
I told that dream to one of your writers, to one of my friends that writes for you.
Yeah.
And she just kind of laughed it off. I was like, I kind of hope she tells him that one day. Here I am getting to tell you.
Oh, that's funny.
And I'm sorry for the awkwardness.
Oh, no. Elia, of all the ways that could have gone, probably the best.
That's like the most tame dream I've ever had, I promise.
About you.
Yeah, about you.
Oh, man.
Hobbs, you've been awfully quiet, dude. What's up?
Habanero.
He's using dollar store internet. I think that's the problem.
It's moving like.
And there's no churro in here.
No, there's not.
Terrible, because he was like the first one there, and now
we're on
the fence.
Yeah, oh well. We'll get her in.
Okay, her phone is trying to connect, but it won't go through.
Oh, no.
Does she not have a laptop? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, here we go. Somebody's in there.
Oh. What is
churro.
Oh,
so, Dr. Rourke, I wanted to thank you on behalf of a lot of people that I know, especially myself, for just, like, being one of the most real people, and I don't think I've ever heard a bad word about you.
Oh, wow.
Everyone I meet who has met you personally, who knows you personally, has great things to say about you. I'm not trying to suck up to you, but I've thought this for a long time, and like what you do for people in our profession, like for mental illness, self-care, you shut down your website for the, you know, suicide awareness and all that. That's amazing. And we all really appreciate that.
Yep. That's, we do.
You go above and beyond for us.
And I really appreciate it. I try really hard.
Yeah.
So, well, you guys are getting there really fast, in that, like, at some point you look around and you're like, how in the hell did we get 39,000 people
to pay? No kidding.
I mean,
so we kind of did that in one night. We all woke up the next day and the page exploded.
There was a time, like, when we were getting started, whatever, Facebook decided that they loved us
And, like, I think what happened, I'm sure what happened, I remember looking at the metrics and stuff, was, like, we got put into that, like, suggested link. You know what I mean? Like, things you might like. And, man, we were getting 1,000 people a day.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Like, day after day after day. It was bonkers. You know what I mean? And so for, like, 5 or 6 weeks, we were just racking up 1,000 people a day. It was ridiculous. So yeah, you like catch those spurts and you just grow like crazy. But the fact that you guys could do that this year is really incredible. Like it used to be a whole lot easier. Like when I started out, Facebook was really kind of the Wild West.
Yeah.
You know, like it was so much easier to get people's attention. You know what I mean? There just wasn't so much noise, and Facebook was like really big on content creators and stuff.
We've noticed that with like, you know, other VetMed pages, because, you know, we keep an eye on them too, just to like give perspective, I guess.
Of course.
To make sure we're beating them. Quit being nice about it, Salsa. It's to make sure we are dominating the VetMed humor.
In the dark, like,
totally.
Biting my nails, like,
Facebook.
No, you're
how dare you, assholes.
But no, carry on.
But let's get this straight. We are built on 75% dark humor.
Yeah.
And we feel like there is a pretty big need for dark humor, especially in this field. If you don't agree with it, you don't have to follow us.
Right, totally.
But a lot of people do, and we find that. And a lot of these ER people, especially, I've worked in the ER, Tortilla works in the ER, and Churro works in the ER. I think we've all kind of had a little bit of a hand in there. And even if you haven't, you've dealt with the dark side of veterinary medicine at some point.
Sure. That gallows humor is a coping mechanism. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you laugh about the bad stuff because then it's kind of a shield when it happens, you know?
Absolutely.
Yes, yes. So, like, that's like 75% of what we do, and the rest is like healing.
Yeah.
And, I mean, when I say healing, I mean, like, I feel where you come from, and I felt this way too. So,
right.
No, like, on a more emotional level, I guess.
Yeah, that's definitely great. I mean, people come for the connection. Yeah, no, that's awesome. So, how did you guys kind of get to know each other? So, Nacho, you were saying you met
Salsa.
Yeah. And like a response to a comment.
Yeah.
What about the rest of the gang? Do you guys know each other in person, or is it just people who spend a lot of time on the page? Like, how did that happen?
So it started, Salsa and I think when we hit, was it 5,000 maybe? That's when we decided, 5,000 or 10,000, we decided, hey, this page is getting big. Was it 10? This page is getting kind of big for just the two of us. Let's bring on somebody else. And so who was that? Was that Hob?
It was Guac.
Guac, okay. Yeah, and she can't be here. She's actually taken a hiatus from Facebook. So she's getting herself right. But it was Guac next, because we wanted to balance the men and women. And then... Who was next? I don't even remember. See, that's how little you guys mean to me is. I don't even remember.
Me, it was me.
No, it was Habanero was next.
No, I was before Hobby.
Were you
really?
Yes, I sent you guys. See.
Okay, so you're my protege.
I remember the tortilla birthing story better than you guys do.
But anyway, when we decide to bring on somebody new, the active admins, we would kind of. Talk it over. We'd see who was most involved with the page. I believe Habanero was submitting memes to us, and we're like, hey, we got to get him in. Tortilla is a beast with the GIFs, and so she submitted one to us. It blew up on the page, and we're like, all right, hey, we need you. In that process, we've kind of tried to balance personalities. So, you know, I've got... I am the page proclaimed king of dark humor. Nobody can take that from me.
Nacho doesn't have a soul.
I do not. I absolutely
say it outright. He does not have a soul.
Borderline psychopath with the low level of empathy that I have.
I don't know where you're getting this borderline from.
Yeah, what?
But, hey, you guys continue. I got to go get a little more ice.
Okay. So Tortilla is our basic bitch, our resident basic bitch.
Yeah.
So as many know, a basic bitch is someone who loves the basic thing in life. The basic things
Starbucks.
In life. So like she loves her Starbucks, or as she calls it, her Starbs.
Starbs. Yeah.
Her Stars. what do you like, Tortilla?
Oh my god, what Game of Thrones?
You like basically. The Kardashians?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And if we all give her crap for that.
If any basic bitches like it, I probably
her
like
astrology.
It.
And then Habanero is, he's a wild man, but he's a wild man with a heart. He's just like a really sweet guy. If you ever talk to Habanero, if you ever get the chance to speak with him, he's a very sweet guy. But he's also just like, something's off up there. Like, I don't know, like, maybe like 3 extra chromosomes or something. I have no idea. Anyways, and then we have Churro, our newest admin, and she's like our mom, basically.
She's our mama bear. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She takes care of us. She loves us. We love her. But she's also just like a tough bitch and like goes out and plays roller derby and like
that explains the helmet.
Yes.
Yeah, it does explain at least something explains that helmet.
Yeah.
So
anyways,
yeah.
I'm really sad that she's not here, but
let me tell you, I'm so happy to have these other 4 admins because I am not the nicest person. And so, like, we get a message in the inbox. Oh, man, I've had the roughest day. My coworker was terrible. And, like, my first thought is, well, what did you do to deserve it? Like, so, you know, these guys are able to hop in the inbox and handle it with a little couth. And there's been many times where I've, like, taken a screenshot of a message in the inbox and I, like, send it to – we have a group chat and Messenger. And I'll send it to him. I'm like, somebody please handle this. I don't want to talk or else I'm going to get in trouble.
On the flip side of that, though, when any of the business stuff comes in and somebody's asking, like, about posting something, like, marketing-wise on our page, we're like, hey, Nacho, you got something in the inbox?
Yeah.
Like, it's 9 out of 10 times, it's a dude from Pakistan, like, asking to see Nacho's boobs.
Hey, should we tell this story? Should we tell the story about almost losing the page?
Oh,
yes.
My God.
Okay. So back in September 23rd, actually, I messaged Salsa when it was just the two of us. And I believe he asked me, you know, how big are you trying to make the page go? And I messaged him back this, that I want this page to be so big that somebody tries to buy it from us in an obvious scam. And that happened a couple weeks ago. And we almost lost the page. So somebody messaged us and was like, hey, we want to advertise on your page. We'll pay you guys to all you got to do is share some articles from BuzzFeed and you know, the online news article places. And so, you know, I talked to them like, hey, this is going to be, they got to be veterinary articles. We're going to have to check them out before they get posted. Stuff like that. And he's like, all right, yeah, that's fine. I'm fine with that. Sent me a link. And so I go to the link and I click it. And he had managed to get the page login information through that link. So it was a phishing scam. And next thing I know, I don't have access to the page anymore. He had made himself an admin and booted me off the page. And I am freaking out. So I'm messaging the group chat. I'm like, hey guys, I don't have access to the page. I need you to go in, re-add me as an admin. We gotta do something. We gotta get this guy out of here. And it was a little bit of a process, fairly pain-free, but eventually we got that guy out, reported his profile, blocked him from the page, everything. And let's just say we're never doing anything like that again.
No way.
Yeah, so we tried to sell out and we failed it even though.
Yeah.
So we sell stickers.
We need Facebook money.
Oh my God. Well, so that's the thing. We sell our logo stickers on the page, and I've made it clear on the page that we're not trying to use the fans as a source of income. All of us have current or stable jobs right now. Well, yeah. Well, yeah, you guys, we're all essential employees. We're not going to become millionaires by selling stuff on Facebook or running ads or anything like that. So, you know, my thing is, you know, I sell the stickers on the page. We make a little bit of profit, and then what I'm going to do is I'm going to use that profit to give away stuff to fans on the page, stuff like that. So, I mean, I think by the time we finish off the stickers, each of the five admins will have enough money in our pockets to buy a latte or something.
So totally.
That's one of those things. And so I actually asked the page a while ago, hey, how would you guys feel about us running ads? And it was an overwhelming no. They're like, no, we don't want to see that. We already get bombarded with enough of that crap on our regular Facebook. We like you guys just the way you are. Because we've had multiple people, like legitimate people, pet companies and stuff, contact us saying, hey, we'd like to, if you guys could share our products on your page, you know, stuff like that. And we're just not doing it.
Yeah. Those are the ones that when the messages come in, we're like,
but we tried.
We tried one time, and that was kind of our sign is, hey, that's what you get for doing not doing what the page wants you to do.
Yeah. Yeah, karma's a bitch.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So is tortilla.
Is it work?
Sometimes hey, I get. Oh, I'm not done talking about myself.
I'm sorry, baby.
I love you so much.
I was going to say, sometimes these guys need a little bit of feminine energy to rein them in.
Yeah, that's true.
They're a little wild. Yeah.
Very nice.
Okay, now I'm done talking about me. You can...
I'm sorry.
You peasants can talk now.
Listen,
listen to you all night, girl.
So, Doc, we have done all the talking. We need to hear from you for a while.
What do you want to hear?
I was just going to ask you, where did you go to vet school?
Florida. I went to Florida for vet school.
I was going to say Georgia, because my dream.
Salsa the prophet.
I know. I grew up in North Carolina and went to Florida for vet school.
Oh, what part of North Carolina?
It's north of Charlotte. Do you know North Carolina at all?
Yeah. I went to college down there.
There's a town called Statesville, which is where Interstate 40 and 77 cross.
Oh, yeah, I know Statesville.
Yeah, that's where I grew up. My parents still live there.
Oh, cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
I can hear it now.
So I grew up there, and I kicked around a little bit and went down to Florida for vet school.
Awesome. Did you have any encounters with Florida Man?
With Florida Man? No.
So I went to college in North Carolina.
Oh yeah.
In the mountains though, at Appalachian State. So.
Oh, that's where my dad went.
Oh really?
He's a mountaineer.
Oh man. All right.
I had a bunch of buddies who were up there from like 95 to 99.
I was there a little bit after that.
Yeah.
Just a little bit after that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Great place. Yeah.
Great town. I'm sorry, go ahead, Tortilla. You look like you're
No, Boone's a cool town. Yeah. No, that's cool. So, so you went to college at North Carolina?
Yeah. Anybody chime in at any time here?
Clark, we're just letting Clark live out his biggest dream in person.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Salsa's living out his biggest dream in person.
Honestly, I am. So, yeah. I've always wanted to talk to you, just like exactly like this. Just have a beer and just hang out for like an hour or something.
I'm glad we could do it. Yeah. No, I went to Florida for vet school, and there the business group VBMA was getting started. Right when I was getting into vet school, and so I got involved with those guys, and so I started doing like VBMA stuff. At Florida, and then and then I was like the national president for that. So I got in with that kind of group of people and stuff. Awesome. And that's kind of how I got started, was doing a bunch of business stuff there. And like I just loved it. I just got really hooked on this idea of like owning, like vets running their own thing. You know?
The whole private practice venture.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Or it's even, I'm just a big fan of people being able to make their own path in the world. Yeah. Like whatever you want that to be. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like that was just a big deal for me. And I don't know why, but it just was. So I got really into that, and like the corporates were really starting to grow and stuff. And so for whatever reason, that just really motivated me. I thought, yeah, we gotta support the vets and support the independent guys. And that's still kind of a thing for me. And like, I don't have any problem with the corporates. I really don't. But like,
I do.
my big motivator is still like, I want to support, you know what I mean? The independent people.
The little guy working his ass off.
Yeah, that's what I want.
To build his dream.
Yes. Oh, God, exactly. Yeah. That's the stuff that lights my fire. Like, that's totally what I'm about.
Yes.
And so I started with that, and then doing the VVMA stuff, I met some people, and we hired people to, like, speak, and I started, you know, like, working with some of the companies and stuff. And so I kind of got known in vet school a little bit, and then when I got out of vet school, the guys that run DVM 360 came and talked to me, and they were like, look, we've got like all these old white guys writing for the magazine. We'd like to branch out. We want a young white guy.
Bringing like, some diversity.
Yes. And I'm like, I am your young white guy.
You are the future of old white guys.
Yeah, we're gonna shake this up with a young white guy.
Yeah.
Great. Perfect. God bless you. So what did you say to them?
So what it said was, because the first thing I did was kind of freak out, right? Because I was like a first year veterinarian, and I'm like, what am I going to write?
Baby vet.
Yeah, totally. And I'm supposed to like tell other people. You didn't even give them advice. So yeah. I'm like, this is not going to go well, you know? And so I went away and I thought about like stuff that I could write that wasn't like pretentious asshole stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like it was like lessons I learned in my first week as a vet, or the biggest mistake I made as a new vet.
Like very humbling things.
Oh, yeah, totally. Exactly right. Like, let me tell you what I wish I knew. You know? and then I did, like, social media stuff because I knew that stuff. Like, it was just sort of getting started. And I was like, I can totally be the young vet and talk about social media and things like that. So I came up with, like, six things. And I went back and I told those guys, I was like, look, I'm really busy, which was not true. and I was like, I'll write for you every other month and we'll see how it's going in a year. And my plan was to quit in a year because I would have done all my stuff. And I was like, I don't have any more ideas after these. And that was like 300 articles ago. And so you always think you're on your last idea. You know what I mean? You're always like, I don't have anything else after this. And then you come up with one more thing. And so, then you're like, and then you're out. And then you're like, one more thing. And
so
I
have the one thing that you, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I interrupted Andrew Rourke.
We'll flog you later.
So the one speech that I remember you giving, I don't remember if it was from a conference video or just like one of your own videos on your website or something, was the one about euthanasia. I really identified with this one because you talked about, we don't have to do euthanasia, we get to do euthanasia. Mm-hmm. And that's a privilege. That's a privilege that animals have, that we get to give them, their owners. We get to take suffering and squash it. We get to make that experience a little simpler and easier for them and more beautiful. While it's while it crushes them, we can remain strong and and just kind of ease them through a little bit. And it hurts us too, but we get to do that. That is a privilege.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've always felt that way, and you put it into words. And
well, thanks.
I that's the one that I really liked.
Well, thanks for saying that. Yeah. I think what I figured out, and this is kind of what you guys, I think, are kind of getting around to right now. So there's two parts of, like, communicating with the audience, right? There's, like, the knowledge piece, like the information, and then there's what's called, what I, at least I call, resonance, right? It's the way it hits them. And so the knowledge piece of what you just said is pretty basic. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, we get to, this is a privilege. We get to do this thing.
Yes.
If you just say that, it doesn't resonate. You know
what I mean? If you haven't been through it, it doesn't really click with you. Yeah.
Right. And so really, in order to make a difference for people, you have to have information that's useful, you know what I mean, or something that you want to say. But then the real gift, and you guys have this. This is why I was totally up for hanging out with you and just talking with you a little bit. Is like you guys have this. It's the ability to take what you want to say, right, and deliver it in this way that it just like it hits them and it resonates like a tuning fork. They're like, oh, you get it. Like you see the world the way that I see the world. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And like.
Yes.
There's a lot of ways that people can say stuff, and it just doesn't hit, it doesn't click, it doesn't resonate. And so one of the reasons you guys have been successful is, and a lot of this, you have to be authentic, right? Like, you have to be there, and you really do have to understand these people, and you really have to care about these people.
You can't fake it.
You wouldn't be successful if you didn't understand these people and you didn't care about these people. And so that's one of the reasons that you shot past everybody else, is like, these are your people, and you know how talk to them in a way that will hit them and resonate. And so other people can get up and tell jokes or they can make funny memes, but you guys are doing a great job of understanding your people and making things that hit them and resonate. And then where real power comes from is building the skills that you're building now. And then when the time is right or when you need to, you say something that is important to you or that matters, and you use those skills that you've learned, and you take this thing that matters, and you're able to hit them the right way with a thing that matters, right? And then you really, like, you make them laugh, and you stuff the truth in their mouth while they're mouth.
Oh, I like that. I like that. That's awesome.
Force feed them the truth.
I mean, but that's it, guys. Like that's speaking truth to power.
Yeah.
Is, you know, like I use humor in my stuff as well. It's the same. It's a different style of humor. It's a different brand of humor. It feels very different, but it's no less or more valid than what you're doing. You know what I mean? It's still the same thing of like I care about these people. I still practice because I need to be able to see them and see their world.
Yeah.
And if I didn't go in and practice, I wouldn't be able to hit them the same way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
make this matter the way that it does. And so, you know what I mean? Like that's the real strength and power that you guys have. And like, that's something special that you're doing. And so, you know, my advice to you guys, not that you asked for it, but my advice is...
Oh, we're asking for it.
We are, absolutely.
Keep doing what you're doing, and what I've loved in hearing about this, and so you know, we talk about like Salsa gets bummed out when the posts don't do well. Guys, that's how I am.
I hate you guys.
Dude, that's how you get better, right? Like, the real differentiator is you can't let that, like, define you, right? Like, you can't let that be your personal value tied to likes on Facebook. Like, that's fucked up, and it's just... You know what I mean? Like, you'll never be happy if you tie your self-worth or your value to the likes on Facebook. It's just too fickle. But...
That's why I'm depressed, like, all the time.
Yeah. You got to get out of that. Like, I'm the voice of experience. Like, dude, the most unhappy I've ever been in my life was when I got too deep into that stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, you got to get out of that. You got to rise above it. You got to play it like a game. You know, you got to play it like a game. And you've got to watch what hits and what resonates and what doesn't hit and resonate and figure out, like, why. You know what I mean? Like, why did this one hit and why did this not hit? And part of it is, like, feeling your craft, telling jokes. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, you know, I know what you mean. I tell these guys about meme science and they laugh at me.
You haven't said a single thing about meme science.
Yeah, you've said literally nothing about memes.
I will say nothing. People react to this. If we post this at 11:42 a.m. on a Wednesday, and they're just like, shut up,
Salsa. The psychology of memes. We, be honest with you, when we're saying shut up, Salsa, like, it's just by habit by now. So I have two specific questions for you.
Sure, right.
How did you kind of start developing an online social media presence? Like your page, I think your page has over 250,000 fans.
Yeah.
And so, like, what is this something you went into with intention, or did it just kind of your personality turn, you know, made this happen?
Yeah. There's two parts to it. Like, there's the part that I just talked to you about of, like, playing the game and being good at the game and figuring out what resonates and what doesn't, right? So, and I'm good at that. Like, that's something I'm good at. But the other part, too, is right place, right time is a big part of it. Mm-hmm. If you guys are playing a much harder game than I played in 2010, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Everything kind of went to shit in 2016. When the Russian meddling with the election came in, you know what I mean? And all of a sudden, Facebook clamped down. Before that, Facebook was like, oh, we love content creators. Give us your memes. And then the Russians come in and start making tons of content. And Mark Zuckerberg,
let's throttle that back.
My Facebook traffic dropped by 50% in 2016.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I'm still not back where I was in 2016 as far as Facebook traffic.
How do we get more Russian followers?
in Siberia. No. Siberia was really where I was big. But, like, just the traffic, just Facebook just, like, flipped a switch, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I love to hear that you guys have the podcast, like, in the longer term play is building out a variety of ways to get to your people so that Facebook doesn't just have you by the ball.
Yeah, I agree. The podcast kind of started as like a little bit of a hobby. It was one of those things where I'll give this a shot. And, you know, this is a free app. I'll try it out. And, we've only done, I think, maybe 4 or 5 episodes. I have one that I'm editing right now before I post. That I did with one of our page fans, and I'm right. What? Listen, and but it's something that I'm looking forward to growing. You know, we've had a bit of a lull, but I'm looking forward to growing that and keeping it going.
I don't know if it's the heyday of podcasts. I think we've got a long way to go. Like, I'm listening to a lot of podcasts. I'm liking a lot of podcasts. You know what I mean? Like, and the other thing is you kind of reach people on a deeper level, which I really like. I think podcasts are really solid. If you guys don't have like a newsletter or email or something, that would be something I would maybe think about just because it gets
good idea. Yeah.
What do we put in it?
I know that seems like a lot of work. Can you write that for us? Can you write? Hey, we got a job for you writing. It doesn't pay anything.
Yeah, you want to, so that's, now that's more than 2 questions. Let me start with the first question, then you can ask the other question.
I had one more, but yeah.
So I started, right place, right time. So I started in 2008, and my daughter was born that year. So I was a senior in vet school when I had my first kid.
Okay.
So my last year in vet school, we had a baby. And I got on to Facebook, like that's when I joined with 2008, which is fairly early.
Mm-hmm.
And they had just kind of opened it up where you didn't have to have a college email address to get on anymore. And what was happening was people were getting on there and sharing pictures of their family and stuff like that. And so I'm living in Florida. My parents are in North Carolina. My wife's parents are like up in Virginia. And so I was like, I'm going to start posting pictures of my kids on Facebook so that my friends, my family can kind of see what's going on. It's an easy way to update people. And so I started with that. And then I started just kind of joking around and goofing off and being like, I wonder if I can make people laugh. And my oldest daughter, like when she was like 1.5 or 2 years old, she's never stopped talking her whole life. She just talks all the time. So I would just kind of catch some of the funny stuff that she said and put it on Facebook and things like that. And then I kind of edit a little bit, massage. And then you start really getting into joke science, right? So I started to be like, you know, here's the setup. Here's how we heighten the punchlines at the end. Punchline's always at the end. You know, here's how you hide the ball, and here's how you kind of reveal it, and here's how you tell a joke that works. And I honestly was looking at that and reading about like writing humor and things, because it was just like the numbers were going up and I enjoyed it. And I was like, how do you write humor? How can I be funnier? And so I really would read. It's super dorky. How can I be funnier? But it's true. I would work on it and work on it. And so then, I was getting like Facebook was blowing up, and I had all my friends from college and stuff on there. And I was getting like 100+ likes on my personal page, like just jokes about my kids.
Back then, too.
Yeah. It really was much easier back then. There really wasn't much of an algorithm.
Oh, okay.
Pretty much like everybody saw all the stuff the friends posted. And so again, it was in the Wild West, but like, I mean, I was consistently in 100 to 200 like range,
yeah,
posting jokes about my kids and my family. And so then I was like, well, I wonder if I could write for the vet world, right? And so go back to the story I told you earlier about the DVM360 guys starting to help me. So I'll tell you this, and just hear what I'm saying, because this is important. So one of the biggest things that I figured out before other people was this, right? So the DVM360 guys are like, we want you to write these articles. And I wanted to get paid for the articles, and I wanted to, and I wanted more people to kind of read them, right? So I wanted to get asked to do more writing. I wanted to get paid more for writing. And like, just spoiler alert, there's no money in writing on the internet. But you know what I mean? But that's what I wanted, right? I was still like, hey, I want to get more opportunities. I'd like to get paid more. And so I went to the editor of DVM360, and I was like, hey, listen, like, what makes a good article? Like, what do you guys like? And she was like, well, we, you know, a good article, we know it when we see it. And I was like, that is not helpful at all. And so she goes, all right, you know, that's fine. And this was years ago. But she goes, essentially what she said was, if we post an article online and it gets 1,000 likes, then it's a good article. And if it gets 5,000 likes, then it's a great article. And if it gets 10,000 likes, it's a blockbuster. And that was years ago, and those numbers have probably gone way, way up. But that's you get the point. Like that's kind of what it was back in the day.
Yeah.
And they weren't even putting all their stuff online. They still had a bunch of stuff in print and not online. So anyway, so I went away and I thought about that, right? And I was like, all right, 1,000 clicks is a good article. And so the thing that I figured out, right, is what a lot of people do is they come onto social media and they swing for the fences every time. And you'll see these people, right? They're always trying to, like, go viral. They're always trying to, like, make a thing. Every time out, they're like, I'm going to make a thing that's going to catch on and go wild. And I didn't buy into that because I'm like, that's freaking impossible, right? And it's really hard to do.
Yeah.
And so the thought that I had that was a game changer for me was I went back and I thought about it. I was like, there are people out there who like me. Like they think that or they like my style. They think that I'm funny. You know what I mean? Like they get the stuff that I write about. Like I like those people. I'm not going to try to go viral. I'm not going to try to hit it out of the park. I'm going to try to find those people that like me, however small their number there are, and then I'm going to collect them, right? And then next time I write, I'm going to show it to all the people who already like me, and then hopefully they'll show it to their friends or other people will find it, you know what I mean? And then I'll get bigger. And so I never tried to get 10,000 people to read my stuff. I tried to get it so that 1,000 people read everything that I wrote.
Mm-hmm.
So that if you dealt with me, if you hired me to write, 1,000 people are going to read what you wrote or what I wrote. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so my play was not to be mega viral. My play was to be ridiculously bankable and consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I put out, 1,000 people read. And now we're way past that, you know, and 40,000 people read whatever we sell. But, but it does, like, those were the numbers back in the day, and the game is still the same game, right? And so, like, that's why I said that thing about the email list, and that's why I said the thing about the podcast, right?
Yeah.
The goal is, like, get those likes and rack those likes up. That's great. But ultimately, like, if you want to do it as a career, right? Like, if you want to make money at it, or if you just really want to, if you really want to have a rich and fulfilling time, the game is the same. So let me go back to what Nacho said about, like, you got these clients that just drive you nuts, right? Whatever. Okay. You've always got those clients.
Mm-hmm.
Don't build your fucking business to serve those clients. Build your business to serve the clients that like you and that are awesome. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And your Facebook page and your website and your newsletter and your podcast, they're the same thing. So don't play trying to get as many dickheads as you can to come and like your stuff. You know what I mean?
Yes. Like, yes, absolutely.
Take a smaller number of people who are your people, and then you can do stuff with them. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, the people who are your people will listen to your podcast, and they'll go to your website, or they'll sign up for your newsletter, or whatever, wherever you want to go. And if
you're not going to win those people that hated you from the start anyways.
You're exactly right. You're not going to get those guys.
You support the people.
Like,
you respond to good behavior by reaching them.
Right. I've had stuff that's gone, like, ridiculously viral. I mean, really, like national scale viral. Yeah. You know what happens when you go viral? No.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, 72 hours later, your life is exactly what it was.
Oh, I'm aware.
Oh, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's true. So that's not the path. Going viral is not the path to success. The path to success is continually resonating with people, your people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Again and again and again, and building your tribe so that they're there. Mm-hmm. And then when you write your book, they'll buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you go and you speak at a vet conference, they'll show up and sit in the seats.
Yeah.
And when you do a webinar, they'll register for it.
And they'll tell you about dreams that they've had about you.
When they dream, they'll dream about you.
I didn't see that dream coming. It just happened, I mean, you know.
Damn, that's all. It was all.
I swear to God, I don't think about you every moment of my day.
It was all part of my social media plan. On the whiteboard behind me, I had, and this is when people start dreaming.
I need to get a dream catcher and label it my Andy Rourke dream catcher.
Save those dreams for later.
Oh yeah, but that's the answer to your first question.
So, okay, all right. Let me hit you with my second one. It's a quick one.
I weirded out Andy Rourke.
Yeah. So, feel free to lie about this, but were you aware of our page at all before you got tagged on it?
No.
No. Okay. It's crazy that you, like, I don't even know who it was that tagged you, but it's crazy.
I don't either. Yeah, I was like, you know, I don't know about you guys. I have Facebook friends. Well, the thing too is, like, whenever I post or comment into a group, now at this point there's a bunch of people who are like, holy shit, everyone feels like that. And then I get like 19 friend requests.
Oh my god. You're like,
You didn't even. I thought you accepted my friend request, but you didn't.
For good reason.
I thought I dreamt that you accepted.
So yeah, but I still, I still do the thing where I look and it'll be like, I'll be like, I don't know who the fuck that is.
Listen,
29 friends in common. And I'm like,
I probably know that person. Salsa's gonna send you a friend request, and in 3 weeks you're gonna be in a pit in someone's basement putting lotion on your skin. Yeah, telling you now.
So I don't know who typed it, but that's funny. I tell you, I try to balance the vet stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I love it and I do it. And I enjoy it. And I kind of keep an eye on things, kind of like you guys do.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you, one of the things that's made me a lot happier is not paying attention to the other people who do that stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
no, that's understandable.
I mean, you know, exactly. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm doing my thing. What they do really doesn't matter.
It's bittersweet, mostly bitter.
Yeah, totally. You know what I mean? The other thing is it's stuff, and if I just ignore those guys, then I make the stuff that I think is important. You know what I mean? That's like really like original or different or whatever. And like when I make that, then I make stuff that people haven't seen before, or it's new stuff, or it feels fresh, or it feels new.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's been the stuff that's gone the best for me. Make your own stuff and let other people chase you, you know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's such a feeling of satisfaction because we put out a ton of original content. Now, compared to the stuff we share from other pages and the stuff we find on Facebook and just, and you know, save it and share it, we put out a ton of original content, especially compared to some of the other, the vet humor groups.
Yeah.
And it's such a feeling of satisfaction when either A, one of those other groups shares something of ours, or B, we see that it's a deliberate ripoff. So,
are you guys seeing that stuff now, the short ripoff stuff?
Occasionally, oh, yeah. Yes.
Oh, all the time. That never ends.
Did you guys see, did you guys watch the Cage Liner?
The what?
No, what's that?
The Cage Liner?
Mm-mm.
Oh, is
the Onion Style veterinary page?
No.
It sounds familiar.
Oh, yeah, you guys got to go look at that. So, it's called the Cage Liner. And it's written in the Onion Style, so it's fake news.
Oh,
It's so
I do follow that, actually. I haven't seen anything from them in a while.
Oh, yeah. I love those guys. One of my friends, Sarah Boston, was one of the people who started it. She's an oncosurgeon. She's doing stand-up comedy stuff. She is really
funny. Oh, hell yeah.
So right when the COVID stuff hit, they came up with a headline, and it was like, veterinarian achieves lifelong dream of seeing patients while...
That was totally their
thing, and they made it, and it was like fucking awesome. It was hilarious. And then the Vet Girl webpage essentially just straight ripped it off.
Oh,
you know, we know her for ripping things off. Don't worry.
But yeah,
we love her, but
yep.
Take it easy.
Yeah, totally. Okay. We're all together in this cone of safety.
Yeah. But it's funny, she'll steal one of our memes and then she'll tag, like, a different meme page in it. And it's like, oh, all right.
Yeah, we've had some of them, like, And I know those guys, I cross paths with them a lot. So there's politics for me. So I've never said anything, even though there have been a couple of times I'm like...
Yeah. Hey, perks of being anonymous.
Yeah, totally. Oh, yeah. It's, you know, putting your face out there is a freaking double-edged sword. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I get a lot of perks because people, like, they feel like they know me. They, you know, they can reach out to me, which I do love. But the downside to that is you get trapped in the way that, you know, where I'm like.
You have something to protect it. You know?
Yeah, totally. I can't call people out unless I'm like.
Yeah.
I got to be ready to, like, really go for it. You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be fallout for me if I go out.
Hey, so,
sometimes you call people out, you know, like just do it. But
so
anyway,
on the topic of you having a well-known face, I'm sorry, I hate to interrupt you, but Churros wants me to ask you a question since you can't be involved. Do your clients know who you are based on your internet, you know, your internet fame, I guess I should say? Like, are your clients aware of who you are? Or is it mostly just other veterinary professionals?
Not. No. There's a couple. There's some of them, you know what I mean, that have seen stuff that I wrote. You know what I mean? Like, there's some of them who know. But honestly, 90% of them have zero idea what I do.
You don't have clients moving states just to be, you know, just to have you as their vet? Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, everything's a trade-off, you know what I mean? Like, so everything's a trade-off. And so in order to do what I do, I have to have some flexibility in my schedule, you know what I mean? I have to be able to travel and stuff like that. And so over the years, and it waxes and wanes, but it's gotten really hard to get in and see me, and I'm not there regularly. It's not like, recently it's been, I'm there pretty much every Thursday, but for a long time, it's kind of hit and miss. I'm kind of all over. And then I work at these three different practices, and they're all owned by the same group of four veterinarians.
Okay.
And so I move around between locations and stuff, and it's really like the chances of you coming in and getting and like just being like, I'm going to come on Thursday and I'm going to see Rourke. Like, that's probably not going to happen. There are people who were like, we're due for vaccines. When is Andy going to be back in? You know what I mean? Like, oh yeah, sure. A week from tomorrow sounds great, but those numbers are fewer and farther between, and so
it's probably more like, oh, I think there's a Thursday in 4 months from now.
Yeah, that's the sacrifice that I have made.
Yeah,
that okay. I don't think there's a way around it. Everything in life is choices. You're always picking your poison. The thing for me that I kind of gave up for the life that I live is I gave up those regular clients that you know and you see all the time. Yeah. And I hate that, but you just can't be flexible and jump on a plane and take off and do these, you know what I mean, and do other stuff and still be there and available whenever your clients want you. Like, those two things are just incompatible.
Yeah.
And so that's it. But no, for the most part, they, you know, they absolutely do not. And the other thing I'll tell you guys this is, like, the anonymity thing is actually probably quite nice for you guys. The truth is, you are only an expert 50 miles from home.
Yeah.
You know, like, my texts, at least to my face, don't ever, you know, they're not
to your face.
Well, keep in mind, we're not doctors either. So, like, I think one of the advantages to not being a doctor, which are few, but if you're giving veterinary advice,
which we don't,
in terms of like who we connect with, it's the common man. It's like your staff, it's your support staff, and like, not that doctors can't be common men too, because you're a pretty down to earth guy. But I mean, like, we get to make the vet tech memes and be like, you know, listen about this bitch, and like,
yeah, totally. Well, you know, the vet techs have the best memes, right? And again, like, we go back to the science of comedy, right? You always punch up.
Yeah.
You never punch down. And so you guys can make fun of doctors.
Yes, you can.
It's all in bounds. You know what I mean? Do you know what would happen if I made fun of technicians?
No.
Like, you know, oh my God. Exactly. She's like, nope.
I do remember your like Steve Irwin tech doing a dental joke that you did.
Oh yeah,
I
like there's vet tech in the wild.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
vet tech in the wild. Yeah,
Like, nope, not. Oh yeah, totally. But it's always got to be like, even when I made fun of the techs, right? Like, I made a video one time that people were like, when they heard about it, it was like, here's the top 10 things that vet techs mess up. But there were things like, they don't read the doctor's minds, and they don't anticipate. It was purely like, it was all aimed at the doctors not doing what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's nothing funny about a doctor beating up on the techs. And there's nothing funny about the doctor beating up on the clients, right? Like,
yeah.
Well, it would be like the technician being like, fuck the whole kennel staff.
Or like, yeah.
You know, like, we're not going to do that. We love our kennel staff. A lot of us have started there and worked our way up.
Exactly. Or if you're like, oh, these vet tech students.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it just, like, so that's it's all like, it's all, and the more you understand that stuff, the more you can kind of position yourself like, where do you want to be and how are you going to play this and what are you going to say?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't not make fun of techs because, purely because of that. I love my techs just like you guys, you know, would say you love the kennel staff. But you got to believe that there are things that the techs do that are funny.
Yes.
But I'm not the guy to point them out. You know what I mean?
That's why we have a page.
Exactly, right, yeah. But here's the thing is, what a lot of the techs love about me is that I will make fun of myself and the other vets. And that, you know, and here's the thing, it's like, I can make fun of the vets and they don't feel attacked because I'm a vet as well. So I make fun of myself and they all go, oh, I totally do that, you know? I mean, the techs love it because they're like, that's the truth, you know? So anyway. Well,
that's relatable. And like, yeah. I love working with doctors like that.
Yeah.
You have to be able to make fun of yourself and your colleagues. Like, you may not be able to do it publicly because of who you are, but if you can do that with the people you work with, that's great.
Well, and I'll do it in talks, right?
Yeah.
Like, and a lot of it's picking your medium. So one of the things about like the Facebook stuff that you guys do is you don't have a lot of time to build trust. And everything that you make is going to get taken out of context, right? Like, you know, Tortilla makes this GIF, right? It better be able to stand alone with no context. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Here's the joke, completely encapsulated, right? Well, one of the things that I get to do, which is awesome, is like, I'll go and I'll do like a lecture, right? I can make fun of technicians in my lecture, but not in the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, establish trust first.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I need, and usually, like, that's the truth, is right? In the first 20 minutes, if I convince you that I love my technicians and I care about them and I want them to be successful, and I want them to be happy, and I would lay down in front of a truck for them, if I can do that in the first 20 minutes, the last 20 minutes I can make fun of them, and you know, coming from a place of love,
yeah.
You know, and good intention, and I'm making fun of people that I care about like I would make fun of my family.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah.
But you can't do that online because you've got to have that, you know what I mean? You got to make everybody safe, and then you can kind of punch down a little bit in a fun way.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have that luxury on the internet or social media. You better make your stuff stand alone and
yeah.
not let people pull your stuff out of context.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. I think that we are relatively good at just like, I guess, like putting, I know you said like, you make the gift better stand alone. Like, no context is really going to matter. But I feel like the repetition, like we post a lot of original content, a lot. Mm-hmm. We'll post 10 memes a day, very, you know, original memes.
Yeah.
Constantly. And yes, we have no life.
Yeah.
But but I feel like we have these top fans at this point that are just like, do or die for us. Like, give us the real, the hardcore, like, unfiltered stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we have who you're talking about, the people who don't know who we are, the new followers,
mm-hmm.
who are just like, who are these assholes telling us this? Like, you don't know me. like Jerry Springer episodes, you all know me. And then, so I guess what I'm saying is I feel like we've built just like more of a connection with these people through repetitiveness and just like,
oh yeah. You gotta keep, like, consistency is the key.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I've seen people who come out and they make something that's really great, and I go, that's really great. What else have you got? And then after that, what else have you got? And
yeah,
you don't
want to be a one-hit wonder.
It really is that consistency of, like, I'm funny today and tomorrow and the next day and the day after that, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and you guys see this. It was like, you see that on a lot of pages is they'll start and they'll make original stuff. And then they'll just switch over to posting other people's stuff. And it's because they're done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That, and we see them because we do pay attention to them, as we talked about before. We're petty, but you know we'll be like, this page hasn't posted anything original in what, like, 6 months.
Yeah.
And then
those guys are done. Like they're just tapped out. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And no hate. You know what I mean? Life happens to everybody. You guys have a big team. Which is really good. I mean, that's going to give you some stability. Is when two or three people get bogged down with life, and then you've got two other people still making content and posting and sharing.
Exactly.
Oh yeah.
Like,
I mean,
Guac is taking care of herself right now. Like we said, Guacamole.
Right.
And so she's always welcome back with us. We know that. I hope she knows that. And like that's the thing. There's five others.
Yeah.
Just.
Totally.
Grind it out, so.
It's nice, though. We do find a nice balance because I was talking to Churro the other day where, like, I'll go 2 weeks and they're just brain dead. And then one day, something will just spark that inspiration and I'll crank out, like, 7 or 8 memes. And then I got to pace them out. And so it's good because during that lull when I got nothing, and you got to remember that, like, the inspiration that's striking is stuff that I am remembering from 5 years ago. So it's great that the other admins are still currently active in the field because they keep things fresh. You know, they keep me involved and let me know, the newer stuff that's happening, because you should know just as much as anybody else, the medical field more than anything else changes daily. And so it's nice that, I have these guys keep stuff fresh, but and they can also pick up my slack, when the page started growing again, I can't do this by myself. And then Salsa and I were doing this, like, we can't do this by ourselves. And so it's just continued to grow.
I never said that.
You shut your whole mouth. Hey, real quick before I stop talking, I'm on my third glass of whiskey and I have not had alcohol in 3 months or 2 months, 2 months. See, I don't even know. Oh my gosh, I'm hurting right now. But no, Habanero just wanted to say he wanted to thank you for all of the positivity that you put out into the veterinary community.
Oh, well, thanks, man. We try hard, you know.
If you know him, he's a genuine dude. I don't believe I'd ever think he was lying, and we know him pretty well just from like. Our group chat. Our group chat runs our lives.
That's good to hear. You know, we try hard. You know, and like part of it is, and you guys are sort of feeling this out and figuring this out. At some point, you got to figure out what your brand is, right? And like again, like if you want to be a professional sort of content creator and keep sort of growing that way, you know, there's the resonance that we talk about, which is like that's your art, right? Mm-hmm. Your art is not I know what to say. Your art is, I can take something that needs to be said, but I can deliver in a way that hits like a tuning fork and the person really feels it. They're like, that was meant for me. And so that's the first part of the art. The other part is learning to speak in voices, right? It's understanding the brand that you're kind of working with or who you're working for or what you kind of need to do and kind of knowing how to talk in that voice. You know what I mean? And so, like, people who come work for me would know, like, they know we're not bashing clients. You know what I mean? Like, we're not going to hammer on the text or we're not going to do blah, blah, blah. Like, everything that we do is going to be positive. It's going to be uplifting. It's going to be like, you guys know, I mean, you guys have probably seen enough of my stuff to know my style. It's going to be dad joke stuff. You know what I mean? It's going to be positivity stuff. It's going to be clean humor. And like, but that's my voice, right? And there are people who are freaking hilarious but they can't write in my voice or they can't write from my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go, I think you're hilarious, dude, but I'm not going to hire you. Or, you know what I mean? Or I think you're hilarious, but I don't have a spot for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just because you can't, you're not on brand. And so some of that is that's working on your versatility. Mm-hmm. So part of it is, what is your brand, right? Like, what do your people come for? But the other part just for you to kind of work on is, can I write for other brands, or can I, you know what I mean? Can I switch up? Can I work clean? That's a big one. Like, if you can do humor and you can work clean, there's a lot of opportunities, right? Mm-hmm. Industry loves humor, but they don't want anything that might blow up in their face.
Yeah.
And so just as a pure skill set, being able to work clean, like, there's opportunity there. And then there's also, like, the other thing of go the other way and be like, we're going to be the darkest that there is. Like, yeah. At least people gravitate to that.
It's funny you mentioned that, because, you know, working clean, it just makes me think of, I remember my parents back in the day, if you remember Sinbad, the comedian.
Yeah,
I was going to say Bill Cosby,
had a huge successful career on being a clean comedian. He never cussed. He never, you know, said negative stuff. And he had a massive career built on that. And, you know, and then you got, you know, your opposite, your George Carlin, Richard Pryor, you know, my personal heroes.
Yeah. So, well, look at,
I love Sinbad.
I mean, it's not good or bad, but look at Will Smith. You know what I mean? Like, Fresh Prince, like, that guy,
yeah.
I mean, you know, like, mm-hmm. there's a lot of rappers who are like, that guy is so soft, and I'm like, pardon me,
he's marketable.
Look at where he is. You know, yeah.
You know his name.
That work, yeah, he gets that work because he works clean, and people can bring their families. And like, we don't talk about it, but the bankability of Will Smith compared to, I mean, I don't know. Even like Drake or people like, it's not even, you know, not in the same stratosphere.
Yeah.
So anyway, okay. there's just, it's fun. I mean, you guys should be proud of what you're doing, and you should see it as your art, because it is your art.
Very proud.
Right? Yeah. And use it. Do it, learn from it, right? Like, get better and pay attention to what works and what doesn't work. And know that, like, those skills that you're building, these are communication skills. And so in 10 years, you may be doing video production work. You may be writing. You may be writing professionally. You may be doing a digital marketing, right? You may be a social media, social media, like, personnel, right? You know what I mean? Like, you may get paid 100% for this stuff.
Yeah.
It's all those skills translate, guys. Like, when I got started, I went out and I would find people like you who were funny, who were doing good work. And then what I would say is, can you work clean? Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? Can you make things that fit with my stuff?
Yeah.
And the people who could, like, got opportunities and they got work, you know what I mean? And then we would take people on and they would help me with my social media and stuff like that. And generally after a certain amount of time, they would go on to become social media consultants, or they would go on to take a marketing job, or they would go on and start their own stuff, you know, like, that's just sort of it, you know, that's just sort of it. But I tell you that because, like, what you're doing now, most people can't do. And so don't discount it. Treat it as your art and grow it and develop it, because it is a marketable skill. And it might not look the way that it looks right now. That's fine. But just keep getting good at what you're doing. Keep figuring out how to resonate with people. And you will find a path, and you will find a use, and you will have opportunities.
Thank you.
So,
yeah. I mean, that means means a lot coming from you. It does.
Well, absolutely. That stuff is true. Don't discount what you're doing. There's not a lot of people who can go out and make a Facebook page, turn out original content, and get 39,000 fans.
Yeah.
Like, how many people do you know who've done that?
Yeah. I mean,
there's not a lot of us. You know what I mean? And so don't worry about, like, don't worry about the fact it doesn't pay the bills now. Stretch your muscles, stretch your legs, stretch your arms, learn your skills, and do it because you enjoy it. But don't forget it's a valuable skill, and at some point you may be able to use it and make something. So keep working on your art. Figure out what your brand is. Figure out how to work in other people's voices. Just figure out how to resonate and communicate.
Absolutely.
And you'll have opportunities. And you guys, if you ever need anything, reach out to me and let me know, okay? I'll do what I can to help
you.
Thank
you.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Roy.
Well, guys, I am out of Woodford Reserve.
Hey, so, no, wait, I never got to make my Will Smith joke when you were talking about
Oh, my
God.
Oh, geez.
No, I was just going to say, come for the clean rap, stay for the Scientology.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Hey, so where can I'd imagine you've been recording this. Where can our fans watch this this interaction?
Oh, did I record this? I don't know. It's Google Hangouts.
Oh, my gosh.
It was not on Zoom. It was just...
It's all right. I have several screenshots.
Who would do an entire interview and not record it?
No, it wasn't in the Zoom. It's like Google Hangouts. I've never used it before.
Nope, that's how you protect your craft.
That's okay.
Yeah.
And you guys just learned another lesson. Never get recorded. All right. Peace out, guys. Have a great evening.
Thank you so much, Doctor.
You take care, Doc.
Keep doing a good job. Keep picking people up.
Take care.
Have a great night.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Thanks for tuning in to Veterinary What the Fuck Moments podcast with one of the greatest interviews we've ever had so far with Dr. Andy Rourke, one of our heroes, just a great guy, fun to talk to, fun to drink with. Enough said, I guess. We'll try to get with Habanero and Churro next time. They had shitty internet, and we apologize. I would like to say my favorite part of this podcast was when Dr. Andy Rourke said the word fuck multiple times to us, because we did not know the man was capable. Anyways, we'll catch you next time. Take care.